Fernand Auvergenois. The title is Versoir, which is a wordplay between basically to you can translate it as verses to oneself. Then again, you can also understand it as silkworm. And the poem itself is titled Garden Variety. Garden variety. Poets, like onions, should not be sliced, but peeled. Poets and onions come in layers, and layers and layers of soft skin. Poet skin and onion skin need gentle handling. Onions and poets cause tears to flow. Onions more than poets, but poets longer than onions. Poets and onions fear the knife, but peeling is all right if you must absolutely look inside.
Thank you, Cedric. Who was that by again?
Fernand Auvergenois.
Okay.
He's had passed already, but his wife, I suppose she here among us, is living somewhere around Enniskeen.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that. Thank you. Okay. Next up, we have Margaret O'Regan.
I found this on Facebook of all places. It's by Fred Johnston, and I was taken with it because it's quite sensual, and I like those kind of poems. Also, I'm the same age as Fred, so he calls it love haiku, but it's actually a combination of three haikus. Swans for us to feed, grass lip of the public lake, leaf fall in your hair, warm breeze in your skirt, the shape of you showing through, the weight of pure light. Other men glance or stare, none can know the silken heat my lips will soon taste. Fred Johnston.
Thank you, Margaret, and Fred, in his absence. Next up to the open mic is Jim Crickard.
Hi, guys. So I'm going to do a poem by a poet I really admire. His name is Philip Spillane.
Go on, Jim.
He's written this poem called The Server Hermit, and ever since I first heard it, I've been obsessed with it. It's like technology and spirituality put together, because he works in IT and he's a bit, you know, spiritual as well. So only Phil could have written this.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Server Hermit. Servers. Through their services, like big boxy bits of Buddhas locked in iron cages, their green eyes winking at me as I pass by. I shift through the shuttle where the air conditioners prolong this heat wave with this exhausting ice age. At the back is lays at midnight black Dell Optiplex 360, with its dark braille door ajar. In there, its motherboard tingled electric emerald, like Mother Earth. A boarded circuit garden, pagoda chipsets, extensions and RAMs, snowed under by flakes of dust. I clip, clip, clip in the USBs and screw in the lilac VGA. I shove a power cable up its backside. Fan exhales. Finally, I press its bindi and ignite its whole nature. Like a beast awakened from suspended meditation, The monitor blinks and displays its GUIs like psychedelic flowers at dawn. Tum tee tee, tum tum tum. The Windows XP chimes. It tells me things it's doing and done in a passive mannerism. My fateful familiar, I subside in the hum of the server forest, kept away from the windy variable outside, where the elements can invade. Suddenly, the power supply coughs. The computer blinks out, and so do I. Thank you. That's Phil's poem.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Phil.
Yes.
What a poem.
Yeah, super poem. Okay. Thank you. Next up, we have Amy. Amy Gurlitt.
That's right.
How are you, Amy?
Thank you. I'm going to read a poem of Washan Shire, or Shire. She's a British poet born to parents from Somalia. So she knows story about being a refugee. And the reason why I read this poem is because in times like this, it seems to be quite important to have an understanding of what a home is and to remember people that don't have a home. Refugee by Washan Shire. You have to understand that no one puts their children in a boat unless the water is safer than the land. No one burns their palms on the trains beneath carriages. No one spends days and nights in the stomach of a truck feeding on newspaper unless the miles traveled means something more than the journey. No one crawls under fences. No one wants to be beaten, pitied. No one chooses refugee camps or strip searches where your body is left aching, or prison, because prison is safer than a city of fire, and one prison guard in the night is better than a truckload of men that look like your father. No one could take it. No one could stomach it. No one's skin would be tough enough. The go home blacks, refugees, dirty immigrants, asylum seekers sucking our country dry, niggers with their hands out, they smell strange, savage, messed up their country. Now they want to mess up ours. How do the words, the dirty looks roll off your backs? Maybe because the blow is softer than a limb torn off. Or the words are more tender than 14 men between your legs. Or the insults are easier to swallow than rubble, than bone, than your child's body in pieces. I want to go home, but home is the mouth of a shark. Home is the barrel of a gun, and no one would leave home unless home chased you to the shore, unless home told you to quicken your legs, leave your clothes behind, crawl through the desert, wade through the oceans, drown, save, be hunger, beg, forget pride. Your survival is more important. No one leaves home until home is a sweaty voice in your ear saying, leave, run away from me now. I don't know what I've become, but I know that anywhere is safer than here. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy. It's a very powerful poem by a brilliant poet, Washan Shire. Super well read, very well read as well. Thank you. Next up, to the open mic, we have Benjamin Burns.
Hello. So I'm going to read one. I got given Tim Key's poetical playing cards for my birthday, and I'm going to read The Queen of Diamonds. I put on a shit ton of water-resistant suntan lotion, so then I couldn't go in the sea. I kept on bouncing off it and landing on my fat ass. I had one last go and ended up spread-eagled on the top of the bloody thing, rubbing my knuckles on the surface. Thank you.
Excellent, Ben.
Thank you, Ben.
Thanks.
And next up, we have Sue Blue.
Thank you. I've chosen to present. I've been busy translating in this lockdown, translating classics, German classics that my grandmother used to recite at the age of 75 in our kitchen. So, I've finished one here by Rainer Maria Rilke, and I'm going to do his first and then mine. It's a very famous poem and has been translated hundreds of times. Der Panther. Sein Blick ist vom Vorübergehen der Stäbe so müd geworden, dass er nichts mehr hält. Ihm ist, als ob es tausend Stäbe gäbe und hinter tausend Stäben keine Welt. Der weiche Gang geschmeidig starker Schritte, der sich im allerkleinsten Kreise dreht, ist wie ein Tanz von Kraft um eine Mitte, in der betäubt ein großer Wille steht. Nur manchmal schiebt der Vorhang der Pupille sich lautlos auf. Dann geht ein Bild hinein, geht durch der Glieder angespannte Stille und hört im Herzen auf zu sein. The Panther. His gaze from the... Okay, sorry. I'll start again. The Panther. His gaze has from the passing by of bars become so numb that it holds nothing more. He feels as if there were a thousand bars and beyond those thousand bars no world. The sinuous gait of strong and supple strides that turns the tightest, ever smallest round is like a dance of strength around a center in which benumbed a greater will is bound. Just sometimes, quietly, his pupil's veil slides open. Then a view can enter, goes through the flexing silence of his limbs, and seizes deep inside his heart to be. Thank you very much.
Super. Lovely. Thank you, Sue. Great choice.
Thanks.
Did Rilke write a lot in German, I wonder? I mean, did he write a lot in French as well?
Do you know, I am actually not sure. I haven't researched. I'm literally just only doing the translations of those poems that come to mind. I could do some more research for the next time I do the poem on the microphone, and then I can tell you more about it. It'll probably be published online very soon. I sent it to someone who collects translations of The Panther, and he loved it, so he's going to add it.
Lovely. Brilliant. Thank you. Thanks for that. Okay, next up we have Catherine Ronan.
Oh. Hi.
Hi, Catherine.
Hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
I'm still here.
Yeah, great.
Still on challenge. By WB8. Where dips the highly, the rocky highland of Stoothwood in the lake, there lies a leafy island where flapping currents wake, the drowsy water rats. There we've hid our fairy vats, full of berries and of reddest stolen cherries. Come away, O human child, to the waters and the wild, with a fairy hand in hand, but the world's more full of weeping than you can understand. With the wave of moonlight glosses, the dim grey sands with light, for off by farthest rosses, we footed all the night, weaving olden dancing, mingling hands and mingling glances, till the moon has taken flight. To and fro we leap and chase the frosty bubbles, while the world is full of troubles and anxious sleep. come away home, child, to the waters and the wild, with a fairy hand in hand, for the world's more full of weeping than you can understand. Where the wandering water gushes from the hills above Glencar, in pools among the rushes that scarce could bathe. For slumbering trout and whisper in her ear. Give them unquiet dreams. Ring softly. From ferns that drop there. Over the young stream. Come away, O human child, the waters and the wild, with the hand in hand, for the world's most forgiving than we can understand. Away thus he's going, the solemn-eyed, to hear no more than the lowing of calves on the warm hillside, or the kettle on the hob, in peace. Or see the brown mouth bob round and round the open chest, where he comes, the child, to the waters and the wild, with a fairy hand in hand, from a world more full of weeping than we can understand.
Thank you, Catherine. Fred, you were coming in and out there, but it's a brilliant poem. I think a lot of us have the words in our heads, actually, and the rhythm is just beautiful poem, a gorgeous one. So thank you for reading that. Next up to the mic, we have Stan Knott.
Am I on?
Yep, you are.
Cool. Okay, so I was given a book for Christmas. I'm sure you're aware of it, Paul, The Poetry Pharmacy. William Seacart, is that how you pronounce the name?
I actually don't know it, Stan.
Okay, so he does these workshops where he prescribes poems for different ailments, a whole series of ailments. Yeah. So I had loads of choices. This one actually in the book is a poem he prescribes for self-recrimination, but that's not why I'm reading it. I'm reading it because I think it's kind of apt with what's, you know, the current scenario we're in. I don't know about anybody else. I'd imagine it is true for lots of you guys, the same for me. I spent a lot of time writing and creating in this lockdown. It's just, you know, great for the mind and passing time. And this is what this one really talks to me about. It's Wild Geese by Mary Oliver. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for a
while. Oh, that's very good.
Is there feedback there?
Yeah, I've just muted it. Don't worry, Stan. Go for it. Sorry, start again there.
Thanks. Wild Geese by Mary Oliver. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert, repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over, and announcing your place in the family of things.
Thank you, Stan. Fabulous poem by Mary Oliver. Probably her most famous poem, I think. Gorgeous piece. Okay, next up we have our current five-word winner, five-word champion, Michael Ray.
Hi, so this poem is by Mark Waldron, and it's called You Know When You Drop. you know when you drop something, a bottle or a vase perhaps, and when it first contacts the ground, it does so in such a state of shock that it pauses there stunned, just for a fraction of a moment, before it comes to and expeditiously collects itself, summons, despite its near panic, a sense of obligation, recalls just what's expected of it before it tenses its body, scrunches up its eyes, fabricates from nothing an explicit pop and a mass escape from the suffocating incarceration of existence. A breakout that dashes obediently to its slot, that being the ordained scatter pattern of pieces and bits, where it rests then in an array of elfin smiles that seem to celebrate relief, to relish languidly what they, for this moment, take to be their liberty, and to smoke thin cigarettes with their small feet up in front of TVs showing film of countryside in spring, the next cell door having not yet swung entirely shut.
Thank you, Michael. I haven't come across Mark Waldron before, but I'll be looking out for him again. Thank you. Okay, next up, we're going to hear from Rosie O'Regan.
Yep. It's really great to see everybody here. So I'm going to share a poem by this lady, Moira Donaldson. So she was the guest at the last Ovail, and this poem that made me buy the book. So I hope you like it too. Black Dream Bird. It was yesterday that I was a crow with horsehair in my beak and my nest half built, and my black feathers shining through the early mist of belonging to the world, of knowing how to balance on the air of the world, and my shadow, the same colour as myself. Even when the farmer tied my body lifeless to the wire in warning, and my bones poked out, still I flapped in the wind and raised my wings, my beak hinged open to the call of the air.
Thank you, Rosie. Yes. Thank you, Moira Donaldson. Yeah, she's a fabulous poet who was here with us last month at our last actual event.
Virtual
is also actual, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, our second last actual event. Okay, next up on the list we have Michelle.
Hello.
Yeah. No?
Yeah.
You do. Michelle Delay. Hi, Michelle.
Hello. I'm really tempted to... never mind. So I'm going to read a poem by Paula Boyens that I heard her read it a few months ago in Cork. She's a Pennsylvanian poet. And the poem's called Among Barmaids. There was a metal door that took both hands of a strong man to open. But we did it daily. Inside were our charges. Sealed in submarine darkness, we swam through their booze, past the pool table's alien head. Darts that thwacked the pricked wall, like failure itself, spinning like downed ducks to the filthy tile. Like good dogs, we fetched them. In the windowless silence, we watched our drunks bend like sycamores in an all-day snowstorm. When they slept, we let them. We shook them with the tenderness of mothers. They woke and smoked, still dreaming, wore their trade on their fingers, coal or dirt or grease. On the jukebox, five songs repeated, each a lament about cheating women. We hummed along, bore the plodding joke, slurred compliment, nodded at creased photographs of estranged children. The beer rose in gushes, our forearms bulged. One girl, what she wanted before she died was to see the ocean. Froth pillowed up from the subterranean barrels through pipes and pulleys, we wore our pity. Watched men stroke the bar like the hardened brush hair of a daughter, We wore ours in our scarves. Our hooped earrings swayed on the downbeat. We held rags or tucked them in jeans, tattooed the names of ex-husbands, first lovers into our skin in script so thick and Bible elaborate as to be illegible. One wore her drugged out son's childhood face on her wrist, his doomed grin following us. Men brought their kids when the wives needed peace. We gave them cokes and bowls of cherries, let them draw on napkins and pinned up the drawings. Sometimes we spun them on the make-believe dance floor, trying to turn despair into a party. Thanks, that was a poem by Paula Bowens.
Paula Bowens, brilliant. Thank you, it was a super poem. Thanks, Michelle. Okay, next up we have Bernadette Gallagher. You there, Bernadette?
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
Sure.
Okay, so I'm going to read a poem by Joe Burns. Joe was going to have read at Ovail in March, but wasn't able to come. And this is Jacqueline at Pablo's deathbed. Put your hand in mine right now. Yesterday is a fable already told. Tomorrow, a city built in our heads. No lamps illuminating the way. We may shrink in the eyes of each other, but in this moment we're huge, we're bold. Let's not think now of conservation, planning coup d'etat of sense and logic, or each day anticipate the foretold. Here, we're giants, we're able, we breathe. Put your hand in mine for a moment, Pablo, yesterday's a fable. We're growing old. Thanks.
Thank you, Bernadette. Thank you. Okay, and next we have Kieran McCartan. I'm going to unmute you there. There we go.
How are you? This is John Prine died last week, and he was a big influence on my imagination growing up and stuff. So it was a sad day in the house when John Prine died. So I'm gonna say out the words to Angel from Montgomery, John Prine. I am an old woman, named after my mother. My old man was another child who's grown old. If dreams were lightning, thunder were desire, this old house would have burned down a long time ago. Eyes from Montgomery, make me a poster of an old rodeo. Just give me one thing that I can hold on to believe in this living is just a hard way to go. When I was a young girl, I had me a cowboy. It wasn't much to look at, just a free random man. That was a long time, and no matter how I tried, the years just flow by like a broken down band. Make me an angel, flies from Montgomery. Make me a poster of an old rodeo. Just give me one thing I can hold on to believe in this living is just a hard way to go. There's flies in the kitchen, I can hear them, they're buzzing. And I ain't done nothing since I woke up today. How the hell can a person go to work in the morning and come home in the evening and have nothing to say? Make me an angel, flies from Montgomery. Make me a poster of an old rodeo. Just give me one thing that I can hold on to. To believe in this living is just a hard way to go. To believe in this living is just a hard way to go. Thank you.
Thank you, Kieran. Thank you for that. Okay, and next up we have from the Ukraine again, Ada Volinska or Ada Miles. Is there Ada?
I'm muting myself also again. Yeah, I think I like things brief and things very fancy, but the house is beautiful. And I was reading a book on translate, and it was a guide ahead. I was a translating job and I didn't know how to do it properly, or rather how to edit it properly after I was done it. So I was reading a book and there were lots of guides, lots of examples of poems and how to translate them, and it's not even a full poem. And while we were here, I was trying to find it in full, but I didn't. This poem is by, this snippet poem, which I chanced to read and it rolled in my mind, is by Arjun Nash. I hope I pronounced the name correctly.
Yeah,
and his model of his humor and the unfolding of sound and comic effects. And this snippet is very short. And it's very about the coronavirus, I think. This sense me, and the sense of this low range. I'd wear a green, even inside an orange. And it's, there was the word orange before. I'm sure if we can call it. And I think it sort of connects to the start. And well, I think believing in yourself in an orange is a cheerful picture. And then that's it. So that's it.
Thank you, Ada. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next we have Afric McGinchy.
I'm going to read a poem by Anna Akhmatova. It's from a section called Secrets of the Craft, and this particular poem is called Creation. And I kind of, it's kind of, I suppose, in conversation with the one that Stan read. I've actually been really struggling to write, so this is kind of a bit of inspiration for me. So, Creation. It happens like this, a kind of languor. A ceaseless striking of a clock is heard, far off a dying peal of thunder. I somehow sense the groaning and the sorrows of unrecognized, imprisoned voices. A kind of secret circle narrows, but in the abyss of whispers and ringing rises one triumphant sound. Such an absolute silence surrounds it, that one can hear the grass growing in the woods, how misfortune with a knapsack floods the earth. But now words are beginning to be heard, and the signaling chimes of light rhymes. Then I begin to comprehend, and the simply dictated lines lie down in place on the snow-white page. That's it.
Thank you, Afric. Thank you. Okay, we only have a couple left on the open mic. No, hang on, there we have Philip as well. Great, so we've got three left on the open mic. If there's anyone else who'd like to pop on there, you're more than welcome to, who hasn't read yet. There's Mary. Okay, I'm going to put Mary on the open mic. Huh? She should have been there already, I know. That's my...
I think Rob might have won on the text there, Paul, as well.
Yeah, I've got Rob down as well for the text. Thank you, Bernadette. Super. So we've still got some time if you'd like to pop your name in to read someone else's poem. Mary, are you ready to go? Would you like to read yours?
Okay.
All right, so Mary O'Connell.
This is called Porridge by Eileen Sheehan.
Hey.
I've had enough of this business of living, and there is only one cure for that. And besides, the breakfasts are so boring in this place that I have decided to die on Tuesday next. Porridge again this morning. I had hoped for a change. Inform who you will of my intention. Yesterday I requested eggs Benedict, lightly poached with asparagus tips, al dente, of course, on a bed of wilted spinach, all enhanced by a smooth hollandaise sauce. They gave me porridge again. My affairs are in order. You will find all the relevant documentation in that top drawer. On Wednesday last, I had a fancy for French toast and requested same. They cajoled me like I was a naughty child of four who had never sailed in a yacht or holidayed on the Riviera, and they gave me porridge. I would like to see those faces when my will is read. I always did like surprises. Friday, quite by accident, of course, I spilt that porridge all down the bed. Who knew it would be so sticky and difficult to clean? I did feel so sorry, but that nephew who never comes to see me will not be getting the inheritance he is expecting. Such a pity, really. Saturday, I closed my eyes and pretended the porridge was smoked wild salmon on brown bread. I achieved some moderate success, but porridge does so little for the imaginative mind. Sunday, I was relentless. Demanded caviar with wafer-thin crackers and a dainty silver spoon with which to eat it. I need not have bothered. Porridge again, but in a plastic bowl. It made me think how my fine house will be an excellent shelter for the homeless. I rather fancy my being remembered as a philanthropist by my extended family. They'll be astounded at my largesse. This morning, I thought to outsmart them. I ordered oatmeal with sliced fresh peaches, blueberries, crushed almonds, and a swirl of cream. I got porridge in a chipped bowl. This contributed greatly to my decision to die on Tuesday. See if I won't. I have always achieved whatever I set out to do. Dying will be no different. I will simply lie down and not get up. Please do inform the person who passes as your chef that Madame will not be requiring breakfast on that morning. She will.
Thank you, Mary. I've actually just been informed by Rosie that we might be feeding back audio. I've muted everyone except myself. So I might have been feeding back audio the whole time. So hopefully by muting out now during the readings, this is a work in progress, obviously. But thanks for that. Hopefully this will improve the sound. So let's now please call on Philip Spillane to read. Thank you, Philip.
Thank you, Paul. Can you all hear me?
Yep.
Yeah. It's fantastic, this gathering of wonderful people. It's great seeing all of you. I can't tell you how much it's great seeing you all in space and sound during these strange days. So I'm going to read a poem right back at Trent Crickard, the only poet I know from Venus. Wonderful friend and a great, talented individual. So this one is called, good to give an explanation. In ancient Egypt, if a cat passed away, the civilization used to do a whole ritual of shaving off their eyebrows. Very interesting. And conveniently, this is called Pet Cemetery by Jim Crickard. Like the Egyptian, I shave off my eyebrows and bow down to mourn the body of my dead cat. Beneath the night sky, diffused by her helix eyes, I cradle her body and walk the street. Tears running down my face, smooth as cement, featureless. Flattened to an oval, I bellow. A crowd of people are celebrating the road to Chile, still weeping, still cradling my dead cat. I join them. We watched fireworks scratch across the midnight blast. Perhaps she is clawing at the cat flap to the underworld. When thunder breaks, she's not in place in heaven. Thanks for listening and take care, everyone.
Thank you, Philip. And thank you, Jim. And next up, we'll call on Simon Spitschak. Simon?
Hey, everyone. Hey. It's great to just listen in on poetry. I've really missed this. So I'll be reading from something written by Ray Bradbury. He's one of my favorite writers, and he likes to write about space, and I love space. So this one's called If Only We Had Taller Been. The fence we walked between the years did balance us serene. It was a place half in the sky where, in the green of leaf and promising of peach, we'd reach our hands to touch and almost touch the sky. If we could reach and touch, we said, 'twould teach us not to, never to, be dead. We ached and almost touched that stuff. Our reach was never quite enough. If we had taller been and touched God's cuff, his hem, we would not have to go with them who've gone before, who short as us, stood tall as they could stand, and hoped by stretching tall that they might keep their land, their home, their hearth, their flesh and soul. But they, like us, were standing in a hole. Oh, Thomas, will a race one day stand really tall across the void, across the universe and all, and measured out with rocket fire, at last put Adam's finger forth, as on the Sistine ceiling, and God's hand come down the other way to measure man and find him good and gift him with forever's day. I work for that short man, large dream. I send my rockets forth between my ears, hoping an inch of good is worth a pound of years, aching to hear a voice cry back along the universal mall. We've reached Alpha Centauri. We're tall. Oh God, we're tall. Thanks.
Thank you, Simon. Okay, we've just got a few more now. A few more. I know I said a few more about half an hour ago, but we've definitely got a few more now. Unless a few more sign up. So our third last reader tonight is Cahill Holden.
Hey guys, how are you? So this one is by, I think, my favorite poet of all time, Saul Williams, Talk to Strangers. Now I wasn't raised at gunpoint, and I've read too many books to distract me from the mirror. I'm not happy with my looks, and I ain't got proper diction for the makings of a thug. Though I grew up in the ghetto, my niggas all sold drugs. Though that may validate me for a spot on MTV, or get me all the airplay that my bank account would need. I was hoping to invest in a lesson that I learned. I thought this fool would jump me just because it was my turn. I went to an open space because I knew he wouldn't do it. If somebody there could see him, if somebody else might prove it. I know that in your eyes it might seem I got punked out because I walked a narrow path and I went and changed my route. That openness exposed me to a truth I couldn't find. The clenched fists of my ego or the confines of my mind, or the hipness of my swagger, or the swagger of my step, or the scowl of my grimace, or the meanness of my rep, because we represent a truth, son, that changes by the hour. When you open to it, vulnerability is power. In that shifting form, you'll find a truth that doesn't change. A truth is living proof of the fact that God is strange. So talk to strangers, when family fails and friends lead you astray. When Buddha laughs and Jesus weeps, it turns out God is gay. Because angels and messiahs, love can come in many forms. In the hallways of your projects, or the fat girl in your dorm. And when you finally take the time to see what they're about, perhaps you find them lonely, or their wisdom trips you out. Maybe you'll find the cycle's end, you're back where you began. But come this time around, you'll have someone to hold your hand, who prays for you, who's there for you, who sends you love and light. Exposes you to parts of you that you once tried to fight. You'll choose to walk a different path and cry at what you laughed. You'll embrace what you turned away and make a different path. I flubbed it. Because that's the only way we're going to make it through this storm, where ignorance is common sense and senselessness the norm. And flags wave high above the truth and the two never touch. And stolen goods are overpriced and freedom costs too much. And no one seems to recognize the symbols come to life. The bitten apple on the screen. And Jesus had a wife. And she was his messiah, like that stranger, maybe yours, who holds a subtle knife that carves through worlds like magic doors. And that's what I've been looking for. The bridge from then to now. Was watching BET like, what the fuck, son, this is foul. That square box don't represent the sphere that we live in. The earth is not a flat screen. I ain't trying to fit in. This here ain't for the underground. This here is for the sun. A seed a stranger gave to me and planted on my tongue. When I look at you, I know I'm not the only one. As a great man once said, there is nothing more powerful than an idea whose time has come.
Fabulous. Thank you, Cahill. That's a great poem. Super poem.
It's a beautiful one.
Yeah, we should try and get Saul Williams out here because he's a phenomenal poet. Absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that'd be amazing.
Yeah. Agreed. Okay. Our penultimate reader now is someone who's just made a fantastic video. Some of you are in the video, and we posted that today. Mary Nagel. Mary's going to read an extract that Rab has posted from the Tao, which he wanted to read, but he's listening. I can see user Rab down there, as you all can. So I think hopefully he appreciates Mary Nagel reading it. So I'm sure he will. And there's a link there under that chat post I've just made to the video that Mary made was absolutely brilliant, and we're getting great feedback on that. Thank you, Mary, for that gorgeous piece of work. And please, after you, the mic is yours.
It's lovely to see everyone, and hi, user Rob. So this is from the Tao Te Ching 44. Which is dear, fame or self? Which is worth more, man or pelf? Which would hurt more, gain or loss? The mean man pays the highest price. The hoarder takes the greatest loss. A man content is never shamed, and self-restrained is not in danger. He will live forever. That's Rob's.
Thank you, Mary. Fabulous. Thank you. Okay, we have, oh, look who's on the open mic, another one. Okay, so, yep, that's right, I know. We've got two more on the open mic now. We're going to call up now Denise, a.k.a. Mo O'Connor. Let me just unmute you there, Mo.
Okay.
There you go. You got it.
How you doing there? Can you hear me okay?
Can indeed. How are you?
Okay. So I'm going to read, seeing as we have Easter Monday, I'm going to read the famous one by Yeats, Easter 1916. And a long time since I read this poem, so I hope I'll do it justice. I have met them at the close of day, coming with vivid faces from contour or desk among grey 18th century houses. I have passed him with a nod of the head or polite, meaningless words. I have lingered a while and said polite, meaningless words. And thought before I had done of a mocking tale or jibe to please a companion round a fire at a club, being certain that they and I would live where motley is worn, all changed, utterly changed, a terrible beauty is born. That woman's days were spent in ignorant goodwill, her nights in argument, until her voice grew shrill. What vice more sweet than hers, when young and beautiful she rode to harriers? This man had kept a school and rode a winged horse. This other, his helper and friend, was coming into his force. He might have won fame in the end, so sensitive his nature seemed. So daring and sweet he thought, this other man I had dreamed, a drunk, vainglorious lout. He had done most bitter wrong to some who were near my heart, yet I number him in the song. He too has resigned his part to the casual comedy. He too has been changed in his turn, transformed utterly. A terrible beauty is born. Hearts with one purpose alone, through summer and winter seem, enchanted to a stone, till trouble the living stream. The horse that comes from the road, the rider, the birds that range, from cloud to tumbling cloud, minute by minute they change. A shadow of cloud on the stream changes minute by minute. A horse hoof slides on the brim, and a horse splashes within it. The long-legged moorhens dive, and the hens to moorcocks call. Minute by minute they live, the stone in the midst of all. Too long a sacrifice can make a stone of the heart. Or when may it suffice, that is heaven's part, our part. To murmur name upon name, as a mother names her child, when sleep at last has come on limbs that had run wild. What is it but nightfall? No, not night but death. Was it needless death after all? For England may have kept faith for all that is done and said. We know their dream enough to know they dreamed and are dead. And what if excess of love bewildered them till they died? I write it out in a verse, MacDonagh and MacBride. And Connolly and Pierce, now and in time to be, wherever green is worn, are changed, changed utterly, a terrible beauty is born.
Immortal poem. Immortal. Thank you. Thank you, Mo. Okay, we only have one reader left, unless there's someone else who wants to pop on at the very last minute. I don't think so. Not yet. Nope. Okay, so Mags, it's all yours.
And I think I got two messages, and I suppose sing as Rab said, to sing something, I'll sing something there. This is a simple, short poem, and it's so powerful in simplicity. And it's a poem informed, I know it's very well informed poem, and it's by Rosie, and it's called Eggshell. I drink a pint of darkness. Think if I had to choose, I would sooner go deaf than blind. Silence at least offers some solace. You can still hear your own thoughts, the memory of music. Lip read. Darkness, not so much. You have to reach around the unknown. Touch your only way forward, like a chick who breaks from its egg to find itself in a bigger egg on an endless path of shell, its yellow beak, a sharp sun piercing the dark. So the words were beak, deaf, point, yellow, and reach. Nice seeing Rosie. So that's that. And I actually, okay, I got a message right from Rab to do something. So I can only think, do you want to fall in with anything there, Mo? I can only think.
Yes, but unfortunately, music does not transfer through Zoom. I've tried that already with some friends, and if I play along with you, it will just be mumbo jumbo. Music transfers very badly on Zoom.
We used to very good Zoom on songwriters, and every one of us heard each other very well. Okay, I'll do the bossa nova because it's a fast little one, and it's an Ovale song. And this is a short little song about talking to a friend. This is the English translation for anyone who's not Irish. And don't be sad, don't be lonely, just fall in with me, sing a few songs, and do a little bit of jazz with me. And basically, sometimes it's hard to listen. It's lonely being on your own, listen to the hard conversation in your head. Just rise up again with a young heart and cough your head back and just be throw your cares to the west wind. That's a basic synopsis. So I'll try to do this for the person who messaged me, which wasn't actually Mo. Are you hearing me? Nabi Burha, Nabi Brona Conoran, Be Kamalamza, in a Luna Halium, Be to Emma's Muinta, Ligander Mokri, Colin Lam Shakatas, Vishal Kauki. Shankyola Risha Kaila, then hug the guns, knock yon. Be a come alongside, don't run a mong, don't do a run, can't be mong. Uran thus weak now. The inane are in some down. You gauge the clash and go wrong. Who is the young? Just so so reach the creole. Call the lost come guide the ear. Or they go who love me. Roll the kiss be fear. Bossa nova Celtica, Jochen shine leber sancha, the grinka in sunnyha, leshan through and wet and long. Bossa nova Celtica, Jochen Schein, Blair Berthenschel, the green guy and Sonny Hell, Leschen Drill, and what I love, Leschen Drill, and what I love. Guren Glas, who we know, Van Ainer in Sundown, the Geister Kleschen Cola, Cruel the Young. Jesus a rich creo, Father Oscar Lai Anir, Ardic the Hula, Roll of his beefy, Wassanova Celtica, Kyokan Shine, Clever Sunshine, the green guy and sunny hair, the Shandril, and what I'm lost. Bossanova Celtica, Kyokan Shine, Clever Sunshine, the green guy and sunny hair, the Shandril, and what I'm lost. The Shandril, and what I'm lost. Sorry, you heard the guitar here, but I'm not sure.
Great, Meg.
To Rab, you had a hard year, and also for old Charles, got a bit of bass in there, and he's only ever happy. And they're two great old stalwarts, and we send all our love out to them.
That was great, Meg. Fantastic. Brilliant.
I wouldn't mind if you gave him no roll call there, no, to round it off. I'm big and bold enough to sing now, and I have no note in my
head. No, that was lovely.
Peter Hart, and that's an O'Vale song written in the loo in O'Vale, as usual. I have O'Vale. I have two songs out of the dumpsters, barman. Much welcome to be down there at all, but I say I've written one. Yeah.
Thank you, Mags. It was brilliant. I've unmuted everyone there for the last few minutes so we can go crazy with the sounds because there's no mains to go to. I feel like going down to mains right now and just breaking the door down. And myself. I won't. Don't worry.
I think this is mains now.
Maybe this is mains, yeah. We could stay here for 2 hours.
My kitchen is main. Kind of loud music.
I want to say thank you to Derek Sellen and to Partridge Boswell.
Thank you.
Two guest poets.
Thank you.
Thank you both for attending and for reading and for your fabulous poetry.
Thank you.
Also to Ada Valinska, all the way from Ukraine. Thank you, Ada, for coming and joining. And to all of you, this seems to have been a success.
Yeah.
Thanks, Paul. Well done.
Let's do this again next month. This time.
Yeah. Thank you, Paul.
And Rosie, before next month, Paul.
Thanks, everyone.
The second Monday. Yeah, next month. The second Monday.
Paul.
Yeah.
And Rosie teaches that dance she's doing behind you before next month so that we can all do it.
Can you do what?
And you teach us that little dance you were just doing.
I was just copying Shauna.
Shauna doing it. What did you teach us?
There you go.
All right, I'm going to say goodnight. Talk to you all soon. Great to catch up.
Thank you all for coming.
Thanks very much. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone. Keep in touch.
Bye,
everyone.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you all. That was wonderful.
Yeah, see you next month.
We'll be here next month. Absolutely.